Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
9-11 on KDXU. A little bit late getting started, but we did get to hear from Joe for a few minutes. And we'll hear from Joe again here in about 20 or so. It is Mayor Thursday on the Andy Griffin Show. Do I have a mayor in the house? Of course I do. In fact, it's one of the sweetest mayors around. Mayor Nanette Billings is here from Hurricane. Hi, Nanette. How are you? You know what? It would be really good if I turned on the correct microphone. Try again now.
You're very kind.
There we go.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's been that kind of morning. When they play Friday night football on a Wednesday, I get all screwed up, and the next morning I'm, you know.
Senior night. They had a lot of games because of the fall break.
Tigers out there in Hurricane got the win last night against San Juan.
Yeah.
And everybody said, oh, why are they playing a 2A school? Well, it happens to be the best 2A school in the state, San Juan Broncos. And Hurricane got, I think it was 32-28, something like that. Were you at the game?
I was not.
No, you didn't get there.
I was at a meeting.
Imagine that, the mayor at a meeting. What are the odds, right?
It's all good.
Well, when they play on a Wednesday night, it's hard to, I mean, if you say, I was in a meeting on a Friday night, everybody's like, really? But on a Wednesday night, yeah, meetings. Yeah. So, but congratulations to the winners last night, Crimson Cliffs. They clinched the region. Desert Hills finished in second. They got a win last night. Snow Canyon beat Pineview. Congratulations to Snow Canyon. They hadn't won in a month, so that was important to them. They got beat by Hurricane, as a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago. And then the Tigers, playing out of region, got a win as well. So Wednesday night football, very weird. So are y'all ready for Halloween? Are you a Halloween person, Mayor?
I love Halloween. And behind my house, we have Roberts Ranch. And they do it upright. They block off the road, and 3,000 kids come there.
3,000 kids?
I don't get quite as many at my house up on the hill, but they... It's a fun night.
Wow.
Lots of fun things there. But
yeah, it's funny because I was really not a Halloween guy, but my wife started, and she's been doing this for 30 years. She dresses up and goes to work in a costume.
Yeah.
And for a while there, back in the 90s, everyone did it. And then nobody did it for like 15 years. She would go to work, and it was her and like one other lady in the whole department. And then in recent, for whatever reason, it seems to be back. People are dressing up, going to work. And so, yeah, my wife's happy because she's not the only one in a weird costume, right?
Well, our city office, they do dress up. And uh-huh. I even dressed up as an inmate last year.
We
had the police come.
Did you have an orange jumpsuit?
Mine was one white and black striped.
Oh, okay.
Because I was pulling the ball and chain, you know, I'm the real hard criminal. But yeah, it was super fun. But yes, they were all in orange jumpsuits at the city office.
Yeah.
And we had a warden who was our city manager, and we had a good time.
The city manager was the one that was in charge of getting you arrested and
all
that
stuff?
Yeah,
he was the warden. It was good. We had a really fun time. But this year, I think they decided to do hippie costumes, so we're all going to go in our 70s clothes.
I could see, yeah, bell bottoms and a very loud shirt. And,
right.
Yeah. Maybe cool sunglasses. I don't know what else. Sideburns. I guess women don't have sideburns, but the guys should have all sideburns, right?
There you go.
That'll be fun. Not sure we're going to do much here at Town Square, although I do have a tradition, which is now, I think, in its third or fourth year, Fred Walker from InfoWest comes in, and he does, you're not going to believe this, he does a spot-on Monster Mash. He sings a song.
Wow.
We do it live on the air here. I have the backup music for him, and he sings a song. I have one line. Remember when Dracula comes out of his crypt and says, "Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?" That's my only line in the song.
Well, you did great.
Well, I practice because it's nice. My only line. I can just practice that over and over again. But yeah, so Fred will be here on Halloween.
And
on
I'm the sure 31st. There's more. Because his line is, "There's more." And there's more.
Yeah, well, yeah. I tried singing the backup to, you know, they did the match, you know, it was terrible. And after the first time, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that again. I went back and listened to the recording. I'm like, I should not be singing. And it's mostly women backup singers. So for me to try to sound like a woman, it just didn't work.
Yeah.
It just didn't work. It is hunt season. I actually wrote an article a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, about, is the deer hunt on its way out in Utah? And I don't mean to say they're going to outlaw it or stop it. I mean to say fewer and fewer people are deer hunting in the state of Utah. You are not one of those people. You actually went and you got a deer, got a 4-point buck, showed me a picture. Very cool.
I did.
But I remember when I first moved to Utah in the 80s, 1980, we moved to Utah. And I remember I was in ninth grade. I got on the school bus and I started talking about hunting. And I realized within 10 seconds, I was in way over my head because every one of these kids went hunting every year of their life. You know, they're all 14-year-olds. They're all saying, you're stupid, man. You went once, and we go every year. And anyway, it seemed like everyone went. Back then, the numbers were, I think, in the 40 percentile of people that actually went hunting. But now we're down to, believe it or not, Nanette, 7.9% of Utahns own a hunting license now.
Really?
Which is way, way down. Yeah.
Well, we put in every year, and this year we scored.
You scored big
time. I got a bear in August, mm-hmm. and I drew out for a general rifle deer. It was for the early hunt. It was for last week, and I shot it on Wednesday. And my husband got a once-in-a-lifetime moose. And
moose.
He actually got a really nice moose up from the Eden area in Ogden. And then my grandson, he's not even 12. He turns 12 in November, and his hunts, well, November 2nd is his birthday, and November 9th, he has the late season for a... It's bull, elk on Fish Lake. And so we're going to Fish Lake. Yeah.
Wow.
So kind of fun.
That is
we scored
that is
this year.
Now, Willie got a moose, you said.
Yes.
Now, I've never been up close to a live moose. I've been, you know, the nature centers and they have the stuffed moose and I've
they're
been to
big.
Cabela's. And but moose, are they're gigantic, aren't they?
Yeah, they're big. Yeah. Like 1,100 pounds.
So what do you, when you... And you know, we went over some of the reasons why the deer hunt, why the hunt is losing popularity. Part of it is cost. It's not cheap to do it anymore. Part of it is, you know, maybe just kids aren't as outdoorsy as they used to be. So it's the older generation are the ones that are hunting, and they're quite frankly dying off or retiring or whatever. But part of it, a couple of people said, actually trying to get the animal off the mountain is really, really difficult. And then you throw into the fact that you guys got a moose, an 1,100-pound moose.
Yeah.
How in the world were you able to, I mean, I guess there had to be machinery involved.
No, he quartered it up, and then
Really?
Yeah, and when we cut that moose, like, off of the bone, there was more than 300 pounds of meat, but it was close to four. It was a lot of meat.
Almost 400 pounds of meat, and you had to carry that off the mountain.
Yeah. Well, and we loaded it to the ranger and then on a road because you want to take
sounds,
it to a road.
That sounds tough, though.
Yeah.
So you're not a prissy, although you look very beautiful today, but you're not a prissy do my nails and you know, go to the opera type lady, are you?
I do love to do my nails and go to the opera.
Really?
But I do love to go hunting, and I do love outdoors.
Okay, because
so
those don't sports. Really necessarily coincide, opera and hunting and
like
nails and things. But
yeah.
All right, I guess you're well-rounded is what it is.
Okay, perfect.
Well, as long as you're not round. You're well-rounded, but you're not round.
Well, the only thing that happens if you're well-rounded is that you're doing things that are good. Or if you're sitting on the couch eating potato chips. And I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to stay active and be strong. Do things that are hard.
And by the way, potato chips are not my problem. They're cookies. That's the problem.
I
cookies.
Love chips.
It's funny because we were talking about, I have a granddaughter who was just a year and a half. So she's very, very young. But she doesn't love cookies and donuts and candy. She's just like, nah. But if there's a bag of chips or other salty things, she absolutely loves it. And Mike McGarry and I used to do ball games here all over the country. We were following Dixie College back in the day. And whenever we got to a hotel, checked in for the night, got ready for, you know, to just hang out and get ready for the game or whatever, we would both hit the convenience store and I would buy, you know, some cookies or maybe a cupcakes or something like that. And he would buy chips and nuts. And it's so funny that I guess there's like...
I'm addicted to salt.
You're a salt person, huh?
I like salt.
And I'm a sugar person. And I don't know. I don't know which one is better. I don't know. Either one is better. But I guess not having either would be the best choice of the three, huh? So, or of the two, of the three, I guess. And not having any would be the third choice. But
I had colon cancer in 2014. And after chemo and all of the treatments, I actually went in and had a test. And the doctor said, let's see where you're at and what you need. What type of, either what you're low on, what supplements maybe you need. And he said, you're low on sodium and vitamin
Eat
D. So I've been taking about 3,000 to 4,000 milligrams of vitamin D. But he said, he didn't really say eat more chips. He said, you need salt. And so my body, even though it craves that, I need more. Yeah. And so I put as much salt on things that I need.
My mom also was low on sodium for a while. And the doctor said, eat whatever salted you want. Anything salty, go for it. Uh-huh. And that's contrary to what most of us have been taught our whole lives.
True, right.
So, interesting that. So I did not know you had colon cancer. I'm glad you're still here and you're surviving. Okay. You're a cancer survivor. October is very famously Breast Cancer Awareness Month. As a colon cancer survivor, do you ever look at that and go, why don't we have a colon cancer month? Why isn't there more awareness to this kind of thing?
I don't know if you can be aware. I mean, I was in my 40s, and so really I hadn't had any screening. You don't go and get a colonoscopy till you're 50.
Right,
there's just
right.
things that you just don't know. And so I think, and I didn't really have any signs that I started having a pain, and I went in, and that's what it was.
You're very fortunate.
And they took out a foot of my large intestine.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of times when you have colon cancer, if you don't go in until you have some major symptoms, it's too late. You're in big trouble. So you are very fortunate that it wasn't worse. My brother-in-law had colon cancer, and it was the same kind of thing. He'd never had a colonoscopy. He was, I think, in his 30s. It's been 20 years now or so, but maybe in his 40s. But, you know, he went in when he finally got some symptoms and went and got checked. And fortunately, he's cancer-free, and he's still with us. But that's one of those scary things. And
I asked the doctor, what causes something like a colon, you know, a cancer in your colon? Because it left the lining of my colon, and it went into the lymph system. And
really?
He said, it's just a fast-growing cell in the wrong place. And so it's not something you can prevent or... There are a lot of things you can do to prevent.
Don't smoke and things like that will cause cancer. But this one is just luck of the draw or bad luck of the draw.
We all learn from whatever experiences we have, and I definitely needed to learn from this. I recognized we'd never been to the ER, and we went 4 times in about 2 months.
Really?
I hadn't, even with 5 kids. We'd never had we'd not been to the doctor or had any financial issues that we had to do with paying hospital bills or any of those things. And actually, at this time, it was during that time, Obama had just started Obamacare, and you could choose insurance. Well, we had canceled, and so we didn't even have insurance during that time.
Oh, wow.
Had to pay a lot of money that year. It actually took 2 years to pay off stuff, but it was a learning. You learn from all those experiences.
You do.
And sympathy. I hadn't had any issues with my body and never felt sick ever, because I never get colds and flus and sickness. And so I learned a lot. It was good for me to be in a situation to learn and be have empathy and sympathy for others.
I can totally relate. I had never spent 1 minute in a hospital except for when my children were born. Until I was 50 years old. You know, first 50 years of my life, barely got a cold, maybe had the flu a couple of times. I mean, it was easy breezy. And then in the last 8 years, Danette, I've been in the hospital like 7 times, and none of them are fun. Trust me. By the way, if they say you go to the hospital and get some rest, that's not true. They wake you up all night long, stabbing you and doing things. And no knock against the hospital. They have a job to do, and they have taken very good care of me, and I assume you as well. You're not going to get any rest. If you want rest, you're going to have to go home. That's pretty good. Nobody's going to stab you at home. Well, maybe not. Anyway.
Well, they want to make sure you're alive.
No, they're doing their job. Yeah.
That's right.
Doing their job for sure. We're talking with Nanette Billings from Hurricane City. Where are we at time-wise? We've got a minute or two to talk about the gym grand opening.
Yeah, next Monday. So Monday, October 21st, 5 to 9 p.m., we're going to have some fruits and vegetables, and we're going to add...
No chips?
I don't think we're having chips that day.
Okay, fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, we're going to set up the gyms into sections, so we have a State Bank in Southern Utah. We have a gym that they've paid $100,000 towards.
Wow.
And we've got beautiful flooring on it. It looks so awesome. And so we're going to put the state bank. We'll have volleyball, basketball, and then the Hurricane Gym. I think that they said we're going to do like four square and pickleball. We'll have three pickleball set up right there. So we're going to have some fun games for kids to come in and just run through and get in line and do some fun games that evening.
Can you take me back to the germination of this idea of, sure. of how this all came about?
I would love to. So, yeah, when I was first elected mayor, we didn't have any gym space in Hurricane. And with the school district, which we have a partnership, and so they've allowed us to use the gyms for city rec and for school rec, but we knew that we needed some space. And so I went to a lot of business owners, asked if they could help me or what were some ideas that would maybe help. One specific business owner, Daniel Cox, he said, "Hey, I have someone that I bought a building in Armagosa, Nevada, and I think Bob Litchfield still has a gym in Tokerville." And so I called, and it was a, no, I'm going to use it. And I just kept bugging him, saying, "Are you sure? Will you really use it? Hey, would you consider?" And he finally just said, "Hey, if you want it, and if you'll really use it and not scrap it, and if it will actually be made into a gym, then I'll donate it." And so it was a blessing. And so we went and had to do reverse engineering. We couldn't even find engineer's plans. So we went over to pick up things, and there were several. It was all in a stack. But they even had bolts. And, you know, bolts as big as your fist. They're huge. But they had a bucket of all of these different parts, and there were about eight of those buckets full of all of the – what do you call that software? I mean, your hardware.
All the hardware, all the
fascias, is that what you call it? Everything that's like your nuts, everything, bolts, your washers, all that. And some of them were rusted, so we had to buy new, but some of them were in, but all of the materials were in perfect shape because they were brand new. So, but we did have to buy some new hardware. But we had to reverse engineer it. So they went out to Armagosa because it was the same size, and they had to figure out where we needed to put all of the strength and support and how to put it together because we didn't have any plans. And so we had to pay $10,000 to do that. And then we put some of our other money that we'd been saving towards it. And so they're opening on Monday.
Very
excited.
Cool.
We'll have basketball courts in there. We'll do volleyball, pickleball. We'll have a lot of indoor activities for our recreation. We'll be in there. And just on that note, we are going out to bid. It's next week that we're going out to bid. We had, I think, 18 contractors that came to our pre-bid meeting, and we're going out to bid for a four-court gym right next to it. So this will give us six courts in our area.
Okay, so the current one, the one that's opening Monday, is just two gyms?
Two gyms.
And it's the Litchfield, are we calling it Litchfield Gymnasium?
It is Litchfield's family gymnasium.
Okay.
It has State Bank Court and the Hurricane Rec Court.
Okay.
And the other four, we're working on some sponsorships right now for the other four courts. So.
Do you, I find this difficult for me. I can't do this, but as a mayor, you are often asked to go out and raise funds, ask people for money, say, "Hey,
I've been doing that."
Yeah. Is it hard for you? Do you like this? Do you hate it?
You know, I don't hate it. And I'll tell you, it's really easy because the people that are donating, they want to do it for the community. Like I've been raising funds. Last August, I got with 48 people in the community, and the room was in our council chambers. And I basically just said, "We're wanting to build a Veterans Memorial Park. Will you help me? And what are some of the ideas? How can we do this? And what can we do to make this work?" And we came up with a lot of really good ideas. And some of the ideas that I'm just going to say were like dinners and auctions and rodeos and golf tournaments and some of those things. And so we've raised $260,000.
Wow.
And a lot of the contractors that have come in and helped build and develop this park that we're still working on, that we're really, really getting close. So we're hoping the next couple of months.
And I do want to talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back to the Andy Griffin Show here on KDXU. It's 9:37. Mayor Nanette Billings is with me from Hurricane.
Happy to be here, Andy. Thanks for being here, Nan.
Appreciate it. If you want to talk with the mayor, it's an open line, 673-5890. So 435 area code, 673-5890. And you can text me at 467-5842. That's a 435 area code, 467-5842. If you have a text question and you want to ask the mayor, we're going to play a fun game. She doesn't know about this, so I'm springing it on her. Of mayor, if you had to name top three issues, scary, hard, difficult issues facing Hurricane right now, what would they be?
Tax increase with fire district.
Okay.
And even though Hurricane City's not in charge of that, that's one. Probably, I'm going to say traffic off of SR9, because we really don't have traffic off of SR9, but we've had some other issues that we're, like, working on, some of our connector roads.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, just going to say growth in general, where people have inconveniences because of new building.
We talked to yesterday, I can't remember who I talked to about it, but the words that came together, I thought were really good, were responsible growth. Yeah. And the statement I made was, look, this is America. If you buy land, you own land, you have every right within the zoning ordinances of doing whatever you want with that land. And usually that includes either implies that you can build a house and you can live there, or you can build an apartment building and rent it, or whatever it is. Yeah. And so it falls on now the city's mayor and the city council and those to make sure that that growth is somewhat responsible. Not telling people what to do with their property, but perhaps saying, look, this, you know, be careful on how we're doing things. So would you say responsible growth is
responsible big? Is a good answer, but there's a lot of things that people think you have a choice and you don't.
Yeah.
The city, they don't have... You can't say yes and no to certain things. And so there's certain things you can say, no, you can't increase density, but yes, you can still build something there.
Yeah.
People will say, they're taking away my view. Well, you don't own a view. You own your lot, and someone else owns their lot, and they can put something there if they want.
You want your view, buy that other lot. That's your only choice.
Buy the lot next door. Yeah, some of those things. And so there's certain things that you can't do and that are against the Constitution to do, so... We try following that.
We do. We love America, and we want to follow the Constitution. As far as zoning laws, how hard is it to change them? Say I have a neighborhood, and right next to my neighborhood is a commercial zone. But everybody in that neighborhood says, we want to change that to residential. How difficult a process does that become for a city like Hurricane?
Well, usually you go through the planning process where you hire a planner that mm-hmm. comes in and that helps your city make good use of all the lands and connections between your residential, your industrial, your commercial, all of those lots. So, because you're going to have transition everywhere. You are going to have residential next to commercial. It's just going to happen. You can't avoid it. You don't just have residential one area and then this huge separation where you have nothing. There's going to be that transitional place. And so... How to do that, a lot of times they'll do maybe a higher density and then a lower density and then a lower and a lower and move those out. But it's not hard to change it. It's just, should you change it? Those are the questions. And so a lot of times when I was first on council and people would ask me about density and changing something, I'd say, we have people that we just paid $90,000 for a master plan. I think they're a little smarter than I am, and they have a little bit more planning experience.
Yeah.
And so for me just to come in and say, yep, I don't like that idea, there's usually reasons. And if you go to the table and ask questions, a lot of times you can find out what the answers are. But, I mean, a couple of years ago, every zone that came in was changed to higher density immediately when it was brought in. And it was just, our meetings were long, and we had a lot of it. But right now, the council's like, you know what? It's zoned what it is, and let's make use.
Another game, I played with this with Mayor Randall last month or a couple of months ago. If money wasn't an object and you could request something landing in Hurricane that would either enhance or even change the community, what does Hurricane need? What would you like to see?
Probably a covered indoor swimming pool.
Okay.
I think that a lot of people would enjoy having some type of a recreational center. We are building the other two gyms, and then the four gyms. The two gyms are opening on Monday. But a covered pool, I think that'd definitely be something. More walking paths. I think, I mean, recreational things that people can get outside, because we have a beautiful area. Just more.
Yeah. As far as the covered pool, so something like Santa Hollow Aquatic Center over here.
Yeah, or Washington.
Washington has like the Lazy River, but it also has a separate pool for laps and things like that. That's kind of what you're thinking, huh? That would be cool.
And we are saving some money. I met with the school district. They said they'd maybe help out with something. And then I met with the county, because when you're bringing in swim meets, then you're using some of those recreational, where the it's heads in beds are coming here for that kind of an event. So we'll see what happens. But right now we're saving money. We're trying to work it out so we can help with that.
Now, I haven't been covering this part of high school sports in a while, but does Hurricane have its own swim team, or are they still part of that Trident?
We do have our own swim team.
Okay,
Hurricane. And they swim outside
in our pool. All
yes.
year long.
Yes,
huh?
They do.
And by the way, the swim season is during the winter, so it gets kind of cold.
Yes.
Those are brave kids.
Yeah. We just upgraded our boiler. It was like $80,000, but you know what? To keep it warm.
You got to do what you got to do.
That's
yeah.
right.
All right, let's talk about Veterans Park a little bit.
Okay.
First of all, let's give the basics of it, what it is and where it is, so people know.
So when you drive through Hurricane, you're headed towards Leverican Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
The last light is 500 North, and it turns to the north. I mean, as you turn to the west right there to go to the cemetery, it's right before the cemetery on the north side of the road.
Okay.
And it is being built. We have bathrooms that are close to being completed. We just got trestles on them this week. There's a pavilion pad that's going to be poured in the next few days. We're going to put up the pavilion. We have flags that are ordered, and they're supposed to be here soon. And it's for all the branches of the military. We ordered all of the stone. It's granite that's going to have the engraving of all of our veterans. Everyone from Leeds, Hurricane, Leverican, Tokerville, Springdale, Rockville, Virgin, Apple Valley, Hilldale, all of the cities from the east side of I-15, because this Hurricane High School was the high school that they all either went to high school, or once they've come back here and they served and then come back. So we're putting names for our veterans to memorialize and to honor. And it's a place that we can gather. We don't have a place to gather, especially like on Memorial Day or Veterans Day or the 4th of July, to have a flag raising ceremony or to have some kind of a memorial. So it's going to be a beautiful area. And the whole thing's been donated
by our citizens.
It's just been amazing.
You took the answer before I asked the question. But my question would be, a skeptic would say, oh, that sounds like it's going to be really expensive. It must have cost the city an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
It didn't, though.
You know, and it's amazing because people and businesses have just stepped up. I sent out a letter last year and said, hey, if you would like to have your name on this memorial and donate $500, we'll put your name there. And we just received thousands that way.
Wow.
And so we've raised about $260,000 total right now. But
incredible.
$50,000 was just donated by T-Mobile through their grants. And I applied for the grant and we received it, and that's helping pay for our statues that we're putting there. We have a statue with a soldier carrying another soldier. We have the fallen soldier with the boots and the rifle and the helmet. We have another one of Eagle. It's going to be a beautiful, we're hoping to do the Eternal Flame as well, but that's also $85,000. And so we're raising money. If people want to help, we're happy and we'll take their donations. They can go right into the city office. They can call, they can pay online, and we'll put their name on our donor list. But we are just so appreciative of all of the awesome businesses and people that have helped.
I know you're a big lover of this country and the freedoms that we have and everything. What is having a Veterans Park, besides the other stuff you're doing, the gathering place and things like, what does it having a Veterans Park mean to you and to Hurricane and to the veterans?
So probably personally, my grandfather, my mom's dad, Grandpa Wright, he was a veteran, went to the Navy. His son, my uncle, I have two brothers that have been in the Army and the Reserve. I have a brother-in-law they've served in Desert Storm in Iraq, and so it's very dear. My father-in-law was a Marine. It's just very dear. I have nephews that have been in the service, and I've got a niece. She's active right now in Vegas, and I'm just so grateful for people that are willing to say, I'm here. I am willing to be brave and do these things, even if it's not convenient in my life. She has two children. And I think of her going into she'll go in and she's part of the National Guard, and she just sometimes she'll just get deployed right in the middle of the week and have to leave her kids and go. I'm just grateful. It's just gratitude. I just feel so much gratitude people that are willing to stand up and do hard things.
I went to a funeral this past Saturday for a guy that an old guy that I had known for years, and he served in Korea. Jack Telford is his name, and they did a full military, kind of tribute at the beginning with the 21 shot salute and the taps on the bugle and the nice speeches by the American Legion, and it was really touching. And they said one thing during that ceremony. They said, when you enlist in the military, like Jack did, you sign and take an oath saying you're willing to give your life for freedom, for this country. Yeah. And said that not too many people do that. Not too many people are willing to do that.
We are free because of the brave. Absolutely. Yeah. And if we forget that, and I think remember is probably one of the most important words in the scriptures, but we have to be reminded, because people, if they're not being reminded, we're forgetful.
Oh, remember, right?
Remember.
All right, thank you, Nana. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the program. It's the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. Nanette Billings, Mayor of Hurricane, is with me today. And we've got the election coming up, Mayor. The ballots were mailed out on Tuesday. I didn't get mine yesterday, but I assume it'll probably be in the mail today.
It's not in the mail yesterday either. I actually checked.
Are you pretty excited about this election? I mean, first of all, you're not up for election, so you don't have to worry about that.
Right. This is our state and our federal delegation that's on this ballot. So
you're pretty fired up? You excited about it?
You know, I love elections because it's just America's way of saying what you want. And it shows if you vote. There you go.
I hope logical minds prevail in this election.
I hope so.
Let's go to the phone lines. Hey, you're on with Mayor Billings and Andy. What's up?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so my question for the mayor is, what's the status or what's the reason that the runway lights at the airport, that project was canceled or didn't go through?
That's a great question. So our airport board, airport board is a committee that gathers and they make recommendations to the council. And it was, I think there was maybe only one person that actually voted against the light, but the rest of them voted to recommend to the council to have the lights. The council decided not to have the lights. And so you're asking the reason, and I'm going to say changing the use. So currently, changing the use. So it's been really a day use only for 80 years. The airport has not had lights on it. And the people that live around it, they knew they were moving next to an airport and they didn't mind having use, but the use during the day, but they knew there weren't lights. And so the people that came in and the 302 emails and letters that I got.
302. Wow.
302. I actually printed them off and I put them up on the thing. I went, this is 302 people that have reached out by email or wrote me a letter and said, please do not do that. And those people they basically said, we are fine with the airport staying the way it is and being here, and we'll support the airport to continue use, but just please don't change the use to add lights. And it's really not for the fixed wing. The discussion was not because they didn't want to have fixed wing come in at night or land or take off. It's the helicopters that come down from SUU and the train. And if we have lights, then the training will take place. And they don't want to have the night long training and have it going all night long. So that's really what.
So isn't there a way to communicate with SUU? On their training? I mean,
that's a great question, but with the FAA rules, are the airspace is FAA, and if they want, I mean, if it's open, it's open to everyone. It's one or all. And so you can't say they can't come. If it's lit, it's open.
So basically, if the lights, if you approved the nighttime lights, they would come, period. They're,
for sure.
And there's nothing you can do about
it. Yeah, and they're not wrong when they say, man, this would improve safety, because it's not just lighting the airport so that they can land. And they're not bright. It's not like the people at the around there said, we're not worried about the actual light pollution or any of the challenges with the lighting. Just what they were the really, it's just the noise coming in. But the Pappy lights is where it equalizes. So when you pull in, you can kind of see if you're landing correctly, and that's something that would be an enhancement for all the pilots for safety in the daytime or nighttime because of the Pappy. But it's also changing the use for nighttime flights, and so that's really what it came down to.
Any other comments, caller?
What's that?
Any other comments?
I was curious as why they didn't, you know, why they, you know, they had the funding and everything, and then at the last minute they. I was under the impression that they were going to go ahead with the project. They'd had bids and everything.
Yeah.
And then at the last minute, that was canceled. And that was my.
That's when you have a council that's listening to the constituents. And I will tell you this too: it's difficult to hear something like this where you have a project and then it's canceled, and so it's hard when you're a user. We have a lot of people that come into Hurricane City and use our airport. The land lease, which is very inexpensive for someone to have a place to store their plane, is very inexpensive to run a business at an airport. And so that's one of the, it's very cost effective for someone. And so it's hard for people that are not residents to understand that you, when you listen as a council member, when you're listening to the residents, that means who's at the airport. And when you have, you know, dozen people that are your residents, but the other 60 people that are using your airport aren't from your city. It's hard to just listen to those handful.
Right, yeah,
you have to listen to the people that live around there too.
302 emails worth, yeah, as a matter of fact.
But there were a lot more people than that that came, and actually others signed petitions and called, but those were just what I printed.
Well, I try to put myself in that position, Mayor. And, you know, if I lived by the airport and the idea that if we get these lights, there will be helicopters coming all evening long, all night long, that sounds awful.
Well, sometimes SUU, they'll send, and they've been really good, honestly, when I say this, I'm saying it with every intent of goodness. Sometimes they'll send three at a time, three or four times a day. And so you'll have three helicopters flying around the city. They do their touch and goes and their landings, and they're there for half hour or an hour, and then they leave, but then three more come. And you'll have up to 12, 16, in a day. Mm-hmm. And when you have it all day long, sometimes just the reprieve of nighttime, they're just saying it's really nice.
Yeah, I could see that. I understand that. We live pretty much on a flight path for Life Flight to fly over our house where I live, going to the hospital from certain areas that they need Life Flight. It is very disruptive because, you know, if you can imagine, if Life Flight picks somebody up at the airport or on the freeway and they have to go to the hospital, they're not getting very high. You know,
well, and they can land and people can take off. It's not against the rule for them to do it now without lights. They can do it. It's whether or not it's safe for them, and they choose. It's not against any rule for them to take off or land. And in emergencies, of course, they're going to.
We have about a minute left. I know there were a couple of calendar things you wanted to mention real quick, Nanette.
Oh, calendar items. We have a Christmas tree lighting on December 2nd.
No, already?
I know. That's coming up in a month or so. And then we have a Christmas tree festival the second week, that weekend, that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in December. So it will be the 12th, 13th, and 14th of December. So
that is not very well. You'll have one more appearance on the show next month to talk about that.
Yeah.
But
we had a big fall fest, a big neon nights in October. Lots of fun things in Hurricane going on.
Wow, incredible. Mayor Nanette Billings from Hurricane City.
Thanks,
thank you,
Abby.
Mayor, for coming on today. It's always great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Back tomorrow. Finally, Friday will be here tomorrow. We'll have Open Line Friday. I think Mello's going out of town tonight, so it's going to be just me. You'll have to deal with that. Sorry about that. We'll talk to you tomorrow.